The man of the hour, that's Drake May. It's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. We're live from Scores down here on Canal Street. Today's show brought to you by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins. Jameson Black Barrel, Jameson Orange Specialty Cocktails. Come on in here and order one up at the bar. We're down here on the first floor. Come say hi as we take you all the way up until 6 o'clock. Pre-gaming here for the Bruins and their home opener tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. But that was the voice of Drake May, who we just talked with Tommy Curran about at length. He wants to go out there and make some plays. And that resonated with you, Andy Hart, because that's his M.O. That's what he's trying to do. That's not necessarily what Jacoby Brissett's M.O. was. Jacoby Brissett was take care of the ball. If you see a throw in a tight window and you're not sure about it, hold on to it, eat it, or keep running around and wait for some guys to get open, which you didn't see a lot of. Window's got to be wide open if you want to throw. And even when it was sometimes, he still threw it to Fred Warner. It was just not a good situation. You got May coming in here saying the opposite, basically, saying, I'm going to try and make plays. And that's what he should be doing. I mean, this is what you got in the third overall pick. You got a playmaker at quarterback, a guy who can throw on the run, a guy who has a big arm, who can go across his body, who can hit guys in small windows, all of that stuff, which, you really haven't seen much of here in a while. Cam Newton certainly wasn't doing it. Mac Jones had an inkling that maybe that was part of his game, and then that disappeared after a year. And the year so far now has been brutal quarterback play. So this is something that I think fans have really been waiting for, and it seems like May has the right attitude about it.
I think he can inject life in every player on the field.
Yeah.
And I think there should be a belief, whether you're a lineman blocking for him or a receiver downfield, that this could turn into a scramble drill. I could be the guy that he's going to throw across his body, that, whatever he gets in his head, that ability to make plays with his, as his head coach said yesterday, what does he bring? A strong arm and athleticism. Mm-hmm. And that's a different style of play. And this is not meant to be just a comparative shot at Jacoby Brissett. He is who right. He is. He can do what he does. And he was brought in to do certain things. I think they probably expressed certain things to him. And now you have Drake May, who, what did he say? Go have fun. That's what this is to him. He's 22 years old and he's starting for the New England Patriots. He's not that far removed from Tom Brady, right? That's where he is in his world, his developmental world. He should have fun. And he does have guys that can make some plays for him, whether it's Pop Douglas or Jalen Polk or Javon Baker or Kendrick Bourne. And I think those guys believing that if I get open, or even if I'm not really open, he might throw me the ball. Mm-hmm. To me, there's value in that.
He might look my way.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah.
Whereas I think they believe Jacoby Brissett, A, either wasn't going to see him, or if he saw him, was going to be like, yeah, but that safety is kind of over there. I think those thoughts are gone.
I also think Brissett got sped up a lot. I mean, the first two games, he was running for his life. We know that. We're not denying that or saying that it was all his fault. I mean, a lot of things went into it. And I also don't think you have some great wide receivers here. We all made fun of Pop Douglas for complaining. Who the hell are you?
Right.
You guys, this entire room is kind of lackluster here. You're a below-average wide receiver group, maybe even worse than that. And everybody knows it. It's not like that's some big secret. You're playing these other teams. You know what they have. You know who these quarterbacks are throwing to. And it's not that kind of team. It's not that sort of situation where you just give the ball to one of these guys in space and say, make a play. And Brissett, I don't even think, was all that keen on doing that. The only time we ever saw anything like that, I remember that screen to Hunter Henry in his big game, which I think was the Jets game, and that's about it. I mean, you didn't really see a whole lot of drawing the defense in and then sort of going over on a little pop screen or something like that. You just didn't see a lot of creativity. You didn't see, I think, Alex Van Pelt designing offenses that counteracted what the defense was doing well or what your shortcomings were up front with the offensive line, and it just ended up being this kind of boring, dysfunctional mess that I hope Drake May can fix. And I don't know if he can fix it single-handedly, but there's more to it than just the bad quarterback play.
Well, and that F word, fun.
Yeah.
I think we're coming off a game that everybody would agree was one of the least fun games they've ever witnessed.
Not a fun game.
Right?
Tommy Curran likes all football games. Doesn't matter what happens in the game, he enjoys the game.
You guys still got a little bee in your bonnet over there.
A little bit,
huh?
Yeah.
You're both bringing it up kind of passive-aggressively. It's over. Still talking about it.
Well, we got to talk to him on Sunday, except this Sunday I'm not going to be saying no one wants to watch this game. Everyone wants to watch this game.
Everybody.
On Sunday.
Everybody. I've actually been surprised. I did a couple of those little check-ins about the get-in price, and it hadn't gone up as much as I thought. Now, I have talked to friends who had their tickets on there that pulled them down and are now going to the game, that weren't previously planning on going to the game. But he's going to inject fun. He's going to inject energy. He injects the unknown. Because there really wasn't any unknown with Brissett.
Right.
you kind of knew what you were going to get. We're either going to win ugly or lose ugly, but it's going to be like a low-scoring game. We're not going to make a lot of plays. If the other team makes a couple plays, we're probably porked because he can't make plays. So I just – now there is a little unscripted nature to this offense by nature of the quarterback and then where the game could go, might go. I also think the expectations are relatively low. If he throws for like $175, it's better than what they've been doing.
Yep.
If he throws a touchdown pass in his first game, by golly, this kid can play. You know what I mean? I don't think he has to
go out
there.
Bon Jovi's going to come out and sing the song himself.
Yes, exactly. Live rendition of Our House, right? Yeah. I mean, so in a way, how bad the offense has been is why people fear putting him in a bad offense. Mm-hmm. But it also sets a low bar.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to do much to lift the offense to a level where everybody's like, oh, that's not bad. And now imagine if we gut him a left tackle. Imagine if we gut him a receiver. So I think this is a very winnable situation. Not the game.
I was going to say.
Not the game.
No one's
not
the
game, mind you.
The game,
but I'm talking about the situation for Drake May. I think he can kind of win the court of public opinion like, oh, it wasn't too bad. And if he gets better, the way I've seen Bo Nix and Caleb Williams learn and gain experience and get better, I think people will be optimistic after this game. So you can call me a honk, you can call me a homer, but I am going all the way until 4 o'clock on Sunday. 1:15 on Sunday. I'm staying positive to at least 1:15 on Sunday.
I've called you so much worse than those two things. But yes,
I know. I idiot, moron, yell at me. You're kind of a bully.
I'm not a bully. Come on. You're more of a bully than I am.
With a short fuse. You snap.
That's true. I do snap. But that's I can't help that. It's just part of my
I don't think that's okay.
It's part of my DNA. I can't help it. It's better to do that, I feel like, than to let it all bottle up. You know, if you just snap right away, just let it out, and then it's over with.
Wait, those are the either-ors? I either have to snap at people or bottle up and kill people? Like, what?
Well, I didn't say anything about killing anybody.
Maybe go to a therapist and find an outlet.
No, that's not happening. I don't have time for that. But I do think that between those two, it's better to just die. You know,
that's probably true.
It works for me.
But does it work for the people around you?
Not always.
When you're hurting my feelings?
Sometimes not. Whatever, you call me stupid, too. Either way, the point here is that if he struggles... If May goes out there and struggles, who's that going to be a bigger reflection on? Who's going to have to go out there and fix him? It's going to be Van Pelt, right? You're not expecting Mayo to, if he goes out and has a bad game, maybe Mayo gives him a pep talk or something like that. But in terms of his mechanics, in terms of his throwing, his footwork, all that stuff, if that's problematic, then this is going to be added work now for Alex Van Pelt. He's going to have to take ownership of this.
Yes, at some point. I don't think that's right away. I think there is a little bit of a honeymoon period here for a couple weeks and figuring out what goes on.
This year it'll happen, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Curran's right, and I think he is, I think they are putting him in with the intention of he's going to play the rest of the season, come hell or high water, come one win, no wins, whatever. He's going to play the rest of the season. So if he gets 12 starts and the numbers aren't getting better or the production isn't getting better, the feel of the game doesn't feel like it's getting better. Yeah, because people already have questions about people had questions about Alex Van Pelt before he was a member of this organization. The second it was reported, I felt bad about it.
The question was, who's this? this guy?
No, I wish the question had been, who's this? My question was, why? Mm. I knew who it was.
Yeah.
I knew it was the guy who'd gone 15 years in the NFL as like a journeyman quarterbacks coach in a league where they bend over backwards to give anybody who knows offense a job, a promotion. So I hated the move from the beginning. I still don't like it. I still think, like, if you made me say, will he be back next year? You have to say yes or no. I would absolutely say no.
Yeah, right, I'd probably say no, too.
It feels like a safer bet now. I haven't seen much that was impressive with what he did. He maximize their opportunities through five games with Jacoby Brissett? I would say no. Has he been creative? I would say no. Has he made a lot of mistakes? I would say yes.
Yeah.
And even he admits it, like things that he would like to have back in various games. Was it week one when he said, I didn't have a lot of plays on my call sheet. I really wish I had more plays. Will you draw your own
call
sheet?
We also wish that you had more plays on
your call sheet. Right. So I think Alex Van Pelt has been maybe the biggest underachiever there is. I mean, because I think I held him to a higher standard than the offensive line. Because I didn't think the offensive line had any talent.
I guess. I didn't expect much from him in terms of play calling and game planning. What I expected to see from him was bringing the rookie along. So we'll see what the rookie looks like. We'll see how it looks.
Or anybody.
And,
wasn't his MO that he had five quarterbacks for the Browns and we still made, like, did he maximize Jacoby Brissett?
No.
Okay.
Who was the guy with the three names last year in Cleveland? What was his name? With a hyphen?
Jim Bob Cooter?
Yeah, not Jim Bob Cooter, but something like that. What was it, Brian?
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, there was a bunch of guys there, and they were at Flacco. Flacco, who we've now find out is good. You know, Flacco's out there tearing it up for the Indianapolis Colts. So maybe
suspect.
That one wasn't.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Thank you very
UCLA.
Much. Like, whoever they put in there, like, yeah, it seemed to work out a little bit. Jacoby Brissett, not the first choice, much like Thompson-Robinson wasn't, or Flacco, or any of those other guys last year in Cleveland. But, man, I'd have taken any of those guys over what you got from Brissett for this first month.
Right, and that's his job. He was the head coach of the offense. He's a quarterback whisperer. He's been around the league 25 years. Like, it's starting to feel like he just knows bad quarterbacks. Like, he wasn't a very good quarterback, if you remember him with the Bills. He was not a very good quarterback.
I vaguely remember him with the Bills.
He wasn't. Yeah. He was just a Jag journeyman backup.
In, like, the early 2000s,
guy.
Right, around then?
Maybe even the late 90s. I don't
might
know.
Have been.
Somewhere
yeah.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been over, other than the fact, I feel like he and Jacoby Brissett are just really nice men that I don't want to do the jobs they have.
All right, there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone. It's like me, except for the nice man part.
Yeah.
617-779-7937.
You're doing a fine job.
7937 is your phone number. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will be graced by the presence of one Mr. Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, supposed to come in here and visit with us. We'll talk Bruins with him. Also, the Bruins got pushed around a lot by the Florida Panthers. Do they take it out on the Montreal Canadiens tonight? I know some people in scores right now hope the answer to that question is yes. We will discuss that with Razor and with you at 617-779-7937. First, here's Stiz with What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
All right, and here's what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Patriots back on the practice field today as they continue to get ready for their Week 6 tilt against the Houston Texans. That game kicks off this Sunday, kickoff at 1 p.m. from Gillette Stadium. Ramondre Stevenson did not practice yesterday or today, and if he ends up out or limited, Antonio Gibson would be next up in line for snaps in Week 6. Gerard Mayo also confirmed yesterday that Drake May will be the starting quarterback moving forward for the Patriots. And if you ask Drake, he is ready to show his friends and family what he's got.
A few of my brothers and my parents would be here, but nothing in particular. But I think it's pretty sweet in the red throwbacks. I think that'll be pretty cool to get out there in my first start, and especially in front of these fans. I think Patriots fans are the best fans in the league, and looking forward to playing Gillette.
Damn right, best fans. Week 6 in the NFL kicks off tonight. The 49ers in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Kickoff at 8:15 from Lumen Field. You can hear that call right here on WEEI FM. Our Westwood One coverage, will begin at 7:30. The home opener for your Boston Bruins tonight as the Bees will host the Canadiens. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from Causeway Street. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Bruins. And if you're near the TD Garden from now until 6 p.m., stop by Scores. You can hang out with Arcan and Hart, our WEEI afternoon show. They're broadcasting live down there to celebrate the home opener. And in the MLB, the Mets headed to the NLCS for the first time in 9 years after they beat the Phillies 4-1 last night. They will face the winners of the Padres and Dodgers. That series currently tied at 2 games apiece. And the Guardians will take on the Tigers tonight at 6. And the Yankees will face the Royals tonight at 8 p.m. Trending brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
Oh, man. I'm getting mad just thinking about that again. I shouldn't have played that. But you know what? It's important to play it because the Bruins did get pushed around the opener against the Florida Panthers. And I wonder if they take it out on the Montreal Canadiens tonight. I think they should. I think they should take out a little bit of that aggression. I'd rather they channeled it to these good teams here, like the Panthers, like Tampa, like some of these other teams that they've had trouble, Carolina, over the years. Montreal, I look at, is a bit of a cream puff team, even though they beat the Leafs last night. I don't think they're going to be a good team this year. And I wonder, in general, big picture here, Andy, Bruins went big in the offseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a smart move in 2024 in the NHL? I mean, is that the direction that the league is going in? Is that where you want your team to be?
Nope.
I know you don't want to get bullied around by Tkachuk and those guys, but like, is that the right way to counteract that by going bigger, by going maybe a little slower and having guys that can stand up for themselves? And I say after one game, no, I don't think so, but that's because they got their ass kicked in that game and they didn't settle any scores and it was just a great big nothing. So I'm still a little salty about that. But in general, I think big picture, it's fair to ask the question,
Don Sweeney. What are we doing here? We need scoring. We need other things. And you went and get out of brought a bunch of goons in.
What year is it? Would be another question. Like, yeah. What are you building your team for? Is it 1988? And is Cam Neely still a player and that sort of thing?
Right.
And I do think there's some of that where Cam Neely is overseeing this organization, and Cam Neely has a certain personality and style of play, yep. right? Like, and they are the big bad Bruins. The organization has its own traditions.
They haven't been for a while, though. I mean, I don't think that the
but
big
it's
bad
still
Bruins
there.
Thing is carried over, yeah.
It's still kind of there, mm-hmm. Hanging over your head. Now, I think you should be concerned because you did something that I'm not sure is the right way to do it. It's in the year 2024. I think you'd absolutely want to be better skating, like quicker. Like I told you, I got a weird email from one, I don't even know who was promoting something, but it was like NHL Sports Science, and it was the tracking data from all their digital recorders and who the fastest is and who had logged the most miles okay. on the ice. And it was like, I don't know, there wasn't a lot of Bruins listed in sort of the speed things and the miles and the up and down the ice type charting. And I, the bigger concern is if you did that with at least a portion of your eye on the Panthers, and then you go out and lay an egg against the Panthers right. in one of only three games you play against them during the regular season. Now, I know they're probably hoping, projecting, whatever, a playoff series down the road where you'll get seven-game series and maybe it'll show itself out in that series. But no, to long answer to your short question, do I think this is the proper way to build a team in this day and age? No. And that's like that's where they're going to have to figure out who they are as a team and their identity. And we hear that in all sports early in the season when you bring in new players and you have whatever, like who, what's our identity? Or yeah. younger players are taking over larger roles. And that would fit Swayman. That would fit Lindholm. Some of these other guys they've brought in, like, what are you going to be as? And that's, I feel like every conversation we have with the Bruins right now comes back to who? Jim Montgomery.
Yeah.
Like, he is in the crosshairs of whatever this team is going to be this year, coming out of a big offseason, heading into a big season based on that offseason, but also because of his contract status and everything that goes into that. And I'm interested to see how he handles himself because I said earlier, I do like him. He does seem like a likable guy.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Van Pelt's
a likable guy. And I think the team likes him. I think the team
yes.
likes him, too. I think the players
but just because
like
you like him doesn't mean he's the best coach for you.
Right.
They didn't always love Bill Belichick. They didn't always like Bill Belichick.
Right.
Like, sometimes you need that authoritative figure or the guy who's guiding it in a direction. Maybe you don't really want to go.
They didn't like Cassidy, and then he goes to Vegas and wins a cup. So, like, you
right.
know, who they like isn't necessarily who's going to help him win and
right.
what the best thing for the team is.
Right. So, I think it all comes back to, yes, the personnel and how they've built this team, but more so how Montgomery deploys it and utilizes that. And we may be overreacting. Maybe they look slow.
There's no way we're overreacting. It's been one game played, and there's no way we're overreacting to it.
That's probably fair.
I don't think that that's possible.
To be fair, the only thing we have to analyze is the one game.
That's true.
So our opinions are based on that. But
100%.
No, like, don't you think there's a chance they – teams have flat games. Teams
yes.
have games where you're like, wow, they look really sluggish. And maybe they come out –
do they often have them on the first night of the year
no.
going against the team that knocked you out of the playoffs
no.
when you watch them raise a banner?
No.
Like, is that the time to have a flat game?
Nope. That's not great. None of that
no.
is great, and that is part of the circumstances of this week. But I think we're going to be having a different conversation tomorrow. And you could put that in perspective and say, well, Panthers, Canadiens, the foe and the type of team and
right.
the spot, Canadiens back-to-back games. Doesn't mean if they come out and they're kind of flying all over the ice and hitting people and looking like a big bad Bruins that everything is solved. My guess is you're going to feel a little bit better after tonight.
You lost Jake DeBrusk in the offseason. You lost Danton Heinen in the offseason. Your wingers right now in the top six are Pavel Zacha and Pasternak, Brad Marchand and Morgan Geekie. And I feel like that's a lot of pressure on a kid like Geekie, who had a good year last year
mm-hmm.
and almost had 20 goals, and I think sort of established himself as someone who deserved a shot in the top six. Having him out there to start the year, I mean, we'll see how it ends up going. But those guys are gone, and they weren't world beaters or anything, but they were productive in their own ways, and it feels like a lot of pressure on Geekie to sort of replicate that up on the second line, going up against other second lines or first lines of these other teams. And then you get down to the bottom six. Frederick and Brageau. Jones is out tonight after he slashed the ref in the first game. Kostelic, who they got in the Ullmark trade, is their fourth-line centerman, or he was in the first game. And Fluto has already tweeted out the morning lines here, and they're already a little bit different. I mean, you're already seeing a couple of switches get made on the bottom six, not so much on the top, and on the defense as well. You're seeing the McAvoy and Zadorov look like the top pairing in the morning today at morning skate. Brandon Carlo and Lindholm, Wertherspoon and Peak, and Lorian Mitchell. So, I mean, that's already they're incorporating more people. And I heard Montgomery say today, you know, we want to get everybody out there early and we want people to get some ice time and, you know, get the stick on the ice and all that, and that's fine. But I also think you had to look at that and say, all right, this clearly wasn't a great start here. Let's start mixing and matching and seeing what some of these new guys can do with other people. And joining us right now, here at Scores, my friend and yours, Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, joins us here on the program. What's up, Razor? How you doing?
Gentlemen, I'm great. Yeah, this is a good setup. I'd rather be sitting over there.
Here we're on the wrong side of the bar, but you know,
wrong side.
You
of
just
the bar.
Did a nice Chris Collinsworth slide in there, like
that was a good slide. In. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, yeah, just joining it
made me a little nervous, but survived.
Razor, I was apoplectic after game one. I thought that game just absolutely sucked. They didn't settle any scores. They were out of it by the third period, down 5-1. I didn't care that they scored goals in garbage time. Were you a little disappointed at the lack of response? It seemed like they were trying to go out there and settle scores early on. They just weren't able to. Was that disappointing to you watching that game?
It was disappointing because the first game, you want to go well. I think we really need to, as a fan base and as people that watch the game, get the idea of like getting revenge on the Florida Panthers. It's not happening. Obviously, Matthew Tkachuk is not dropping his gloves with anybody of significance. He's smarter than that. Bennett is smarter than that. These guys are cagey veterans who have now won a cup, who are now very cocky, who are now very arrogant, and they don't feel like they need to prove anything, especially to the Boston Bruins, and they feel like they have that ability to get under their skin. So hopefully on Monday, it's a little bit of a different story and that the Bruins just play hockey. Similarly, it almost feels a little bit like the first game of the Toronto Maple Leaf series in the spring, where Max Domi tries to get in Brad Marchand's face on the face-off and he takes a penalty. You're laughing at the Leafs. It's a little bit like that where it's like you have to kind of just go and play against the Florida Panthers and not expect to get retribution because they're just not going for it.
What was most disappointing to you in that opening night performance and effort? Because I know the coach kind of called them out for being a little sluggish and slow, and the goaltending may not have been the worst part of the team, but it wasn't the best part of the team. What was most disappointing to you?
It was the start and their lack of energy, their lack of quickness, their lack of... Again, you know what you're getting from Florida. You know all the pucks are going to the net. Their inability to clear the front of the net again. So it was just... And I think, too, 2-0's no big deal. It was that third goal, that shorty. They get 1-2-1. Okay, they're in a pretty good spot. And then the power play, they get a chance, and then it goes down the other end. And then it's really deflating. So, again, tonight you just want to see some energy, a little bit more purpose. I think Montgomery used the word purpose. That for me, is the word tonight. A little more purpose to their game.
If Sam Bennett had run you like he ran Corposalo, what would you expect your teammates to do?
Well, I played in a bit of a different era.
True, you
so there might have been 3 or 4 guys coming over the bench at that point. I'm not giving Bennett the benefit of the doubt in anything because he's a pretty good hockey player, and I think he knows exactly where he's going at all times out on the ice. Mm-hmm. And I think he took advantage of taking a shot. He did get nudged in a little bit, but he knew he had a bit of a green light to do so as well. So, again, you would love for, I guess at that point you could have just, you know, all right, the game's over. Let's just, you know, really take a 3-game suspension.
Line brawl, it's
just a different game, a different mentality out on the ice for a lot of the players, and it's hard to get that out of them or suppose get that in them to do something.
Well,
with that
in mind, the Bruins in the offseason spent a ton of money, and they got a lot bigger. And you heard Montgomery after the game talk about, we're a little slow out there. They got kind of bigger and slower. Is that a winning strategy in 2024?
Well, I don't think it's slow. I think they played slow. I don't think they're actually slower skaters or slower at hockey players. I think they just played really slow the other night. The size and the forecheck is going to be a work in progress because there are so many different players. So And Montgomery talked about it going into the game, saying we want them to just play and not think. And I think there were some guys thinking out there a little bit the other night, and it, there might be some of that still to go the next few weeks as they get into this system and different players and different line combinations. But I think we will, once they get a few wins, we will take a deep breath and realize that having a big group and a big back end, big D-core is going to be beneficial in the long run.
We've been talking a little bit about, almost feels like a reset opening night tonight, because you're at home and you're going to get Jeremy Swayman, your $66 million franchise goalie out there. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting from him in particular after the negotiations, not being with the team, and now game two, you're out there?
I expect him to bring the energy, his confidence to this group, I think. And there's no question that this reset. If they go out, Montreal played last night. They hung on and beat Toronto 1-0. Their goalie made 48 saves last night. I hope Swayman doesn't need to make 48 saves, but I hope he makes three or four early in the game to settle everybody. And then if the Bruins can get rolling tonight, it's a complete reset. Get the 2 points, and then everybody, takes a deep breath, and we have a couple afternoon games to enjoy this weekend.
Hearing what Ullmark just got, hearing what Shesterkin just turned down, does that make you feel any different about who did or didn't win this deal?
No, I think it's right where it needed to be. I think probably this season, Jeremy Swayman won. I think in 3 or 4 years, what we think of Jeremy Swayman, the Bruins win. And that's a typical National Hockey League negotiation, a deal that's typically fair because, again, you're not scrapping the deal in the NHL. It is what it is. It's locked in, and it has to be in certain parameters. So I think what you see from, again, Ullmark has a bit more of resume is a good word, a Vezina trophy, more time in the league, more time as a pro, a little bit older. He gets his $825 for 4 years. Shesterkin turning down 11, I don't know what that is.
I'm
that
surprised is New York even offered that.
Bananas. Yeah. And to not take that on the eve of the season. And I had some conversations about that yesterday from guys. It was interesting what the view down there is. But we'll see what that looks like.
Speaking of extensions, Jim Montgomery is in the final year of his deal. I know we talked to Scott McLaughlin the other day. He said, they've been talking, and he got maybe the vibe, see how the season starts, and then maybe we can reach a deal. Is he a lame duck coach right now? Is he coaching for his job? Is he trying to prove something early in the year? Where do you see that situation?
I don't think so. They did talk negotiation that probably got overlooked by Cam Neely last Monday or 2 Mondays ago. What's the scenario that changes your perception of Jim Montgomery here, I guess, in the first month? I suppose if they go 0-10, then, anyone's getting fired, especially in this league. If that happens with this roster, I don't expect that to happen. So I can't envision a scenario other than that where you're saying, well, maybe he's not the guy for us because he's done a pretty good two regular season. He did a pretty good job in the playoffs last season, and I don't know, who could do better.
Does it matter? Does it matter in the dressing room? Does anyone care if he...
Well, I know the players love him. So I think, if anything, it could go the other way, where if this starts dragging on, well, we love this guy. He's done a great job for us. Yes, we haven't won a Stanley Cup. It's really hard to win a Stanley Cup. Right. There's only two teams that have done it since Jim Montgomery's been here, two coaches. So it's difficult to do, and I think the guys really like him. I think they love his honesty, his communication, and the way he maneuvers the bench.
Considering what this team was kind of lacking last year, especially in the playoffs where the offense really took a big hit, you lose DeBrusk, you lose Danton Heinen, a lot of pressure on someone like Morgan Geekie, for example, now up on the top six. Should they have maybe made more of an effort to pump up those forwards, those top wingers a little bit?
Well, that's what we're going to really focus on. I know we focused on the first game, but once they win a couple games, we're going to focus and probably stay focusing on scoring, and especially scoring from the wings. I think with the way the summer, there wasn't a lot out there. The only real free agent out there was Jake DeBrusk,
right?
And now he wasn't coming back here, obviously. So I think it's something to the team will probably want to help, or will hope someone comes up from below and takes advantage of that opportunity. Matty Pastrnak, it does jumble things a little bit differently, makes him a little bit look different. With Patra in the lineup, he's younger, he's got legs, he's a little more enthusiastic, I should say, being a second year in the league. But it's something until it happens, we're going to question where the scoring is coming from, and that's with the power play as well. So there's a lot on the top line, but if they get going, then I think there is a trickle-down that's possible.
What did you think of Korpisalo in opening night, and what do you think of his role as that number two?
He's going to be a great number two. I think that was not an ideal first game to be playing in. Of course, you give up four goals. He said it after. You give up four goals in any period in the NHL, it's not good enough. It's not enough, especially the first one of the season. You would have loved to find a save there, of course, but they probably weren't winning that game. The shots were 14-1 at one point.
Oh, believe me, he texted me immediately. Oh, no. 14-1, is this like a record or something?
No, my kids had the shot clock or counter on 12-1, 13-1, 14. Yeah,
Lord.
So again, it was a tough spot for him, I think. Not going to win that game anyways. It's going to be a little bit of a work in progress for him to kind of see where everything's going. The good news is he's probably not going to play this week again, and he'll be ready to go when he gets out on the road and gets a little more time in.
All right, before we let you go here, yep. Razor, I've been seeing a lot of preseason predictions, you know, the prognosticators for who's going to make the playoffs and things like that. I'm seeing Boston as the wild card team in a lot of places, and I'm seeing teams like Buffalo and Detroit getting talked about as making big leaps this year. Are you on that train, or do you think the Bruins are not that kind of danger?
No, I don't think the Bruins are in that danger. I think the three teams, Buffalo, Ottawa, and Detroit, are the teams that are trying to push and get into that Atlantic mix with Florida, with Toronto, with Boston, and then Tampa Bay. I kind of have it in – I don't think Florida and Boston – really care where they end up. I get that sense. Those are two teams that have been in the playoffs pretty consistently, especially, I mean, Florida, they don't care where they end up. I feel like Toronto could be that team that kind of pushes for first place because they don't want to play Toronto. Or, sorry, they don't want to play Boston. Right. They don't want to play Florida in the first round. Everyone else is kind of okay with who they match up with and know that they're going to have to go through it. Tampa's more my question mark. So Ottawa has been awful for years, and they always are awful to start the season. They're the one team I am kind of looking at, and I don't really want to say it because they have been so bad, and I've been on them a lot, but I love Travis Green, a former teammate, former Bruin, he used to hang out here a lot. He's the coach there, new coach there. Linus is there. So I think that mix changes Ottawa. I think they're probably the most dangerous of the teams that haven't been in it. But I see Boston right around the 100 points again and kind of anywhere from 1 to 3 in the division.
All right. Sounds good. Razor, thanks for stopping by.
My
Great
pleasure.
To see you. Looking sharp. And we'll talk to you again soon. All right?
All right. Awesome. Have fun
here. All right. That's Andrew Raycroft joining us here at Scores. It's WEEI Afternoons. And the show today, again, brought to you by Jameson, official partner of the Boston Bruins. Jameson Black Barrel and Orange Specialty Cocktails. You can get them right over here at the bar down on the first floor here at Scores. We're here until 6 o'clock pre-gaming with you. Quick break. We'll be right back. Brian Hader there. Oh, I'm sorry. Brian Hoyer, actually.
Yes.
Hating on a fine piece of television there in the Aaron Hernandez American Sports Story, which you can see on FX. They had a new episode on Tuesday, which we talked about a little bit, but we wanted to get into it here just a bit today because, first of all, Hoyer talking about it like they're getting all football hardo. Like, we didn't have a fullback that year. Like, okay, there's been lots of football jargon, I think, in the show. I don't think that they're lacking for that.
And there's been some mistakes that have, like, caught my ear or caught my eye, but whatever. For the most part, I actually think it's been way more realistic than I expected.
Yeah, I mean,
the Gillette locker room,
of it's not to be realistic, but I think that,
you're right. No, but you don't want it to be so unrealistic that it takes away from the show or the narrative. I will say, I am enjoying it way more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Probably way more than I should. And I've never watched any of like the Real Housewives or any of these of these reality shows lately, and I feel like this is my delving into that world. This is like my guilty pleasure watching this. And it's,
give that guy an Oscar.
It's entertaining, and it's weird that I know the whole story and like I lived it, and I'm still like, can't wait for next week's episode. I'm like, I lived it. I was there like the whole time. Like I find that very strange. And I think there's some subtle humor in it. I may be misreading something, but the scene where Bill calls Hernandez over at the party and he says, "What are you?" And he goes, like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Were you a tight end or a wide receiver?"
Right.
Am I reading more into that than what is implied?
Oh, you thought that was like a prison thing?
Yeah.
No, I
didn't pick up on that.
I don't think so.
I didn't pick up on that.
Because that's how I thought that was presented. Because I thought Aaron Hernandez paused for a minute and was like taken aback in a little.
You know what? I'll watch that scene again, but it didn't strike me when I was watching it. This is a show where there's a lot of that type of stuff that goes on. I mean, every single episode, there's something happening in that regard. And I guess for a second, when he's like, here, come sit on the couch with me, I was like, no.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Then I would have stopped watching. If that had gone down that road, I would have stopped. But even
I would have kept watching.
When he's in the fight with his fiance, and he's like, I swear there's no other girl. And he's like, emphasizes girl.
Right. Yeah.
And it's almost like he says it in a way that, like, if she were really listening, she'd be like, why'd you say it like that?
Right.
What do you mean, no other girl? Is there anything else I need to worry about?
Uh-huh. And it turns out, yes, there certainly is. But it's not that. Not Gronkowski. But that guy was great. And I think that in general, like, the Kraft guy, whoever's playing Kraft, has, like, a serious
he
spray tan.
He looks like the Wizard of Oz. Can I say whatever they are? Whatever they are in the Wizard of Oz. The little people in the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah.
That's from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The Munchkins. Yeah, the Munchkins.
Yeah. He looks like them. It's ridiculous. I think they went over the top on him a little.
Yeah.
Because I actually think Belichick is the best and Gronk is the second best. I think Bill's awesome. Norbert Butts or whatever.
Yes.
That Fitzy talked to. Go listen to the Six Rings pod. He told
the
story.
Do we have a clip from Norbert Butts, Stiz? Do we have that clip of him talking about getting into character?
Yeah, I do. It's I'll play it. It's a little long, so if any point you want me to turn it down, just let me know. Okay?
There's a bleep in there.
Yep, we got it.
Okay.
That's towards the end.
Let's hear from the actor who plays Bill Belichick. His name is literally Norbert Butts. Here's what he said about becoming Bill Belichick.
What was it like getting to portray Belichick and then finding out about this huge hiccup or bump in his celebrated career and world?
Just to clarify for the audience, I'm only playing Belichick. It's the Aaron Hernandez story. I'm in six
Correct.
Episodes. I'm a supporting character. It really is Belichick through the eyes of the Hernandez narrative. Let me just say the production was fantastic. The guy does not spare any time or craftsmanship in the making of these things. My makeup to get into Belichick was 4 hours every day.
Stop right there. 4 hours to look like Bill Belichick?
Isn't that amazing?
You're not like you're talking about it.
he's not becoming a superhero or like the Hulk.
He's not playing
Hulk.
RuPaul or something. Someone with a lot of makeup on. Like you're talking about Bill Belichick.
Just an old dude.
Right, yeah.
Just an old dude.
Who didn't really put a lot into his appearance.
No.
Like,
Throw on a gray hoodie.
4 hours to look like Bill Belichick? That's amazing. But it does show that they are committed to the aesthetic and making sure that everything looks right. And I'll tell you what, that guy doesn't look like Bill Belichick, but he does in the show.
Correct.
In the interview, they made him look like Bill. Yeah.
In the interview, I was like, wow, that's him. He looks nothing like Bill. In the show, I start to believe he's Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
They go a little over the top with the arrogance, but I don't know how far.
Do they? Yeah, really. And by the way, just so everyone's we're on the same page here, I don't think this is like a good show. Like I think The Sopranos is a good show, or Breaking Bad was a good show, or True Detective in its first season. Like there's good shows out there. I don't consider this that kind of good show.
It's a guilty pleasure.
It's a good show, the way I watch like Catfish. Yeah, like
yes.
You were saying. Like, I don't watch a lot of reality shows. I love Catfish. Catfish is my favorite show of all time. I like this like I like Catfish.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not saying this should win Emmys or any
except
of that.
For the guy who plays Gronk, he should win an Emmy.
But I'm entertained when I turn it on.
It gets me every time.
Well, because he nailed it.
He really did. He really did. Acting is a craft, you know? I mean, it really is. Like, this guy, you have to play this football player, all right? And he has this funny way of talking. And the guy got on camera and he nailed it.
Well, I guess Fitzy, the longer version interview with Butts, is... He studied Belichick's father so that he would know this.
He watched those old clips of him running the kickback.
It's way above my level. I thought you would just watch a couple press conferences and, like, you know, a couple of DVDs or whatever, post-Super Bowl DVDs, and then you got Belichick. But these trained actors, Broadway actors, take their craft quite seriously.
Yeah, they certainly do. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll reset on the Boston Bruins, their home opener tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. We're live here at Scores. A lot of Bruins fans I see down here at the bar getting ready, pre-gaming here for this game tonight, a game that we're all hoping is going to be a reset from the actual opener down in Florida, another chance to go out there and start this season off on the right foot, or the right skate, as it were. We'll get to all of that, and we'll talk some Patriots as well. Get your phone calls right after this.